With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I am very excited for a couple reasons, one of which is that for the first time in a while, Erica Ramirez is back with us.
Yes.
Erica was at South By, and she also was working on a great piece about Selena, and then she had the flu, so yes. It's kind of like the Holy Trinity there.
Yes, the good thing is I didn't die out of any of those three circumstances.
Right.
So I'm glad to be here with a stuffy nose, but, you know, still here and alive. Yeah.
Nevertheless here.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you're wondering why Erica sounds a little stuffy.
Getting over the flu.
She's getting over the flu.
Yes.
And I'm keeping my distance.
Yes.
Appropriately. Also excited because we recently, like literally 20 minutes ago, we were in an artist visit. Sam Du, who is a singer-songwriter, stopped by our offices, played us his new EP, which is fantastic, and he's managed by Roc Nation?
Yes, I believe he's managed by Roc Nation, but is signed to RCA.
Okay, so yes. Yeah, he's managed by Roc Nation, and they brought in the Roc Nation signature cocktail, so we have all had, like, one cocktail in the mid-afternoon in the office.
I don't know if I should be drinking this while I'm getting over the flu, but...
And this is definitely not true, but I'm going to go with it, that liquor does kill germs. That part is true. So theoretically, it could help the germs in your throat.
Okay.
Right? Sure. Why not?
All right.
But yeah. Anyways, so let's start with Sam Du. So
he was in a group called Cloud Eaters, and I believe he said they broke up 2 years ago, and they were together for 3 years. And, you know, they have it there. I believe that they were based in Atlanta. I know he said he was from Chicago, but yeah. I believe the group was mostly all in Atlanta. And from what I know of them, they do have this like alternative rock feel. And you could hear that also
totally.
In his music. And you could probably talk more about that than I can. But, you know, he branched out. He said he was kind of more of a one man band and was very honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
He was more of Trent Reznor type of person.
Yeah,
he
described himself as like he said if he was in a band it had to be like a Trent Reznor situation.
Right.
Like he has dictatorial control over everything.
So I was like, damn, okay. He then appeared, he did the vocals on Wale's Love Hate, and he said it was pretty much he just like wrote it. I think it's just like and the vocals were kept on. And it was actually a huge hit for Wale. And then he teamed up with Skrillex. And everything was pretty much coincidence is what it seemed to be with him.
Yeah, he was just saying he would, like, run into Skrillex or not Skrillex, but would run into someone who was working with him. And his music would end up on a Skrillex song that ended up on the Divergent soundtrack. But it's really interesting because, yeah, he was talking about starting out kind of in that indie-ish background. And, like, the first impression listening to his stuff is you'd be like, this is very, like, alternative-leaning R&B.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it definitely is still R&B. Like, it's, you know, if you were to classify it, like, his vocals are very smooth and kind of even dreamy in a little bit. Like, he likened it to Curtis Mayfield, which I could totally hear.
There's a very soulful foundation to it.
Yeah, really.
I think the layers are very rock. And,
right.
Like, very experimental, but yeah.
Yeah, it was just a really interesting sound. I have to say, I'd only really listened, I think, one of his songs before this, and we listened to six, and I loved them.
Yeah.
It was, like, that great combination of kind of, like what you're saying, a classic soul foundation, But then with a lot of like interesting like indie rock elements, like it's produced by Dave Satek of TV on the Radio. He was saying he was very much inspired by Beck. And, you know, you could hear like definitely kind of Beck's funkier side working its way into that. And I mean, I don't know. It was just like so different isn't the right word. It's just usually you don't hear music where that much is going on. Like there were so many different elements going on in each song.
Well, I think it's also I expected a little bit more of an R&B feel because most people know him from the Wale song. And that's a very much an R&B flavored hip hop song. So for him to come and kind of have this other, you know, show these other layers to it, it was just like, oh, okay, you know, this is, you know, a little bit more heavier than what we thought it would be. Or not as, I guess, predictable.
Anyways, it was great. Let's listen to the one, I think the one song from the EP that is out. It's called Desperately, and the EP is going to drop next week.
April 7th.
Yes. So this is Sam Du, Desperately. And I thought you'd say it wrong, but it's all right. And now I want it desperately. All right. That was Sam Du, Desperately. And speaking of Wale, that makes a pretty good transition. So that was one of your picks for this week. Wale featuring SZA. The track is The Need to Know from the album. I'm going to mess up the title. What is it called?
The album about nothing.
The album about nothing.
You did not mess it up.
Great.
Good job. Yes. So Wale's album came out this week on Tuesday. I'm about nothing, and I chose this song just because, I mean, it's a song about friends crossing the line, and there's like a snippet from the Seinfeld show, the beginning and the end of like them kind of contemplating being more than friends physically. So I like that tie-in also, but I especially love SZA on this song because you usually hear SZA, at least on her recent Z project, she has more of like an alternative soft R&B kind of sound, but I hear her more neo soul, and I feel like that even neo soul has some sort of like stigma, but I think that it's actually very like, I don't know how to say, but it's I just like that sound, that like soulful kind of R&B sound. And she plays off of a Music Soul Child Just Friends song. The lyrics play off of that song in particular, and I just like the way she sounds a little bit more soulful on this, and it goes kind of, it plays hand in hand with Wale's kind of flow where it's a little bit like very chill. And I think I don't think they've worked together in the past. And I think that this kind of makes for a kind of great collaboration. There's other good songs on the album, like The Matrimony with Usher, and there's the song with J. Cole. So there's some standout songs on the album, but I really like this one just mostly because of how SZA sounds a little bit different than what we've been hearing her.
Yeah, their voices together sound incredible.
Yeah.
And it definitely makes me want to hear. Like, I only kind of know her from features or, like, other stuff. So it makes me want to hear more of her. But, yeah, it's a cool song. Like you mentioned, it starts out with a clip from Seinfeld, which is just, like, the whole album is kind of, I mean, the title, The Album About Nothing, is a takeoff of Seinfeld was always described as, like, the show about nothing. And you know, the clip is the classic scene where Jerry and Elaine, who in the show have been dating, or when the show begins, they had dated and they were just friends throughout the show. But there's an episode where they kind of consider, like, maybe it would be great if we could be friends with benefits. Like, we would have the sex, but also the friendship part. But, like, the conclusion is, like, that's just way too difficult.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of the jumping off point for Wale to, like, contemplate that issue on his own.
Yeah, and he kind of does that. I mean, he talks about that in his lyrics also. He kind of plays off of that skit, and yeah, I mean, again, like, I think it's also just very nice to hear them play off of each other, even though she sings mostly just like the hook, but like you said, they sound good together, and it's nice to hear both of them still in their element but still out of their element. You know, they're still doing rap and R&B, but it's a little bit different than what we're used to.
And I think there's kind of a cool element with the album where when you hear like clips from Seinfeld, it's a little, and maybe this is just me because I love Seinfeld, but it like doesn't grate on you in the way that like listening to some of the skits on, like, College Dropout can get, like, irritating. Because it's like, you've heard it a few times, and you're like, okay, like, this isn't, one, it's not that funny, and two, I know exactly what they're going to say. But, like, when you hear clips from a classic TV show, it kind of, like, warms your heart a little, like there's memories of it or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I feel like, what I'm saying is I want there to be a rap album where there are Simpsons. Like,
oh my
no
gosh.
Skits, just Simpsons
Who would,
quotes.
Which rapper would do that?
Who would? I mean,
Chance?
I could see Chance doing that, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, you know, someone in, like,
A$AP Rocky.
I feel like A$AP would be a little too smooth and cool for that.
Yeah, he probably would be.
But right? That would be kind of, yeah, like Chance or Asher Roth. Like, I don't know, someone that's a little bit more, oh.
Yeah.
I did not like that one.
I
right
made a
there.
Face with Asher Roth. Anyways, so let's listen to this Wale featuring SZA. The song is The Need to Know.
Cause somebody to somebody, I'm somebody, and I'm sorry, but somebody gonna need to go.
I'm not trying to question you, just can't stop thinking about you. You ain't.
All right, that was Wale featuring SZA. Next up, we're talking about Janelle Monáe featuring Jidenna. The song's called Yoga, and I hope I am pronouncing Jidenna right.
I hope so, too.
Genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
If I
no
or
shots.
Not.
If we're not, we don't want to also destroy the name.
But before we dive into that, let's give a warm, musty music welcome to Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, guys?
How's it going,
dude? A little
dude?
Tardy this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, tardy for
sorry.
The party.
No, tardy for the podcast.
As per usual.
We're not going to start at 5. We're going to start at 5:15.
That's my diva voice, I guess.
That's an awesome
yeah, that
diva
was a
voice.
How are you guys doing?
Voice.
Did I miss the...
You missed the welcome back to me of being gone for like the entire
my
month.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Welcome back.
Yes.
I've welcomed you back.
You have. You make fun of me all the time. He thinks I've been, Jason pretty much makes it seem like I've been gone for 6 months, but I have not.
It's okay.
Any news from you?
Well, no, I mean, since you've been gone.
okay. I'm only.
You can breathe.
Justin Bieber start, like, he's kind of a bad boy now. He started getting into some trouble.
I am so glad I never missed. I was never at South by for him peeing in the bucket a long time ago.
Iggy Azalea is like a star now. Like
okay.
She's not.
I have
just...
not been gone that long. Stop it.
Yeah, you can't tease the sick.
I know. I'm very happy. I will say I am teasing. For the record, I was like texting because you were actually really sick. I was like,
was.
Are you okay? Because some people, you know, like people. You know, have
die
a cold.
During flus.
People get a cold, and then I'm like, you know, I don't have to check in with them.
This is
like, it's okay. Like, they'll be fine.
It
but
was definitely
yeah. You
worse.
Were not, you were in a dark place.
What's sad is like this is me still sick, and I'm at the office. Like, imagine how I was when like it was worse. But
thank
I'm
you
here.
For not coming in.
Yes. I thought about it. I even told Jason once. Exclusive here. I asked Jason if I should come in one day because I felt really bad because I missed like 2 or 3 days, and I was like, I should come in. And you're like, no, you're dying. Like,
yeah.
Just die there, not here.
I was like, it was the easiest conversation ever. You were like, should I come in? And I was like, do you feel well enough to come in? And you're like, no. I was like, well, guess what?
All right. Enough about my
all right,
sickness.
Yeah. Anyways.
We need to cut that out.
Who cares, really?
No, we're definitely leaving that in. Definitely.
So let's, So we were talking about Janelle Monáe, new song Yoga. So this is the first new Janelle Monáe we've heard since her last album came out. I'd say I'm a fan overall of Janelle Monáe. I really like what she does. I mean, this song speaks to a lot of her strong points. It's got that kind of like electro 80s thing, but also like modern R&B vibe. And she's like referencing just a bunch of like past hits like Dirty Diana and Private Dancer, the Tina Turner song. It's not like I'm not in love with this song, but like I thought it was really good. I mean, I don't know. What's your take?
I think that if it would have came out 2 months later, like when it was like a little bit more nicer in spring and like barbecues are going to start to pop up. Like, I feel like this is a song that people would want to hear, like, especially like in Brooklyn. Like, I could definitely see that. It is fun. I like that for Janelle Monáe, it's a lot more mainstream than what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always say though, that I would love to know like more of the personal side of Janelle Monáe. And I feel like she's kind of been hiding behind this kind of mystique of,
she's very guarded.
Yeah, and also of this, like, world that she lives in. And I think yoga is, like, one step out of this little world, or, like, her kind of taking, like, you know, oh, are stepping out of that world. So I'm kind of excited for that. But it is, like you said, it's like a super, it's a fun song.
Yeah.
I like all her new artists that she signed to her label. And especially Jidenna, I feel like, I don't want to kill his name. I feel bad, but he's a very talented guy. So, you know, and this follows up his single, which is also really good. So, I mean, I think it's a good feel track and also kind of shows kind of what's in store for their album, their compilation.
Yeah, I have to say, kind of speaking to what you were saying about it being a more like a little more mainstream leaning, the line stuck out to me when she sings, "Baby, bend over, let me see you do that yoga." Like,
yeah.
If someone told me that Janelle Monáe was going to sing that lyric.
If someone told me that.
If someone told me that, I could not do that because I cannot do yoga. But
me neither.
But it just seems like, yeah, it seems like her, like, that's almost like a line you would write to be like, oh, people will repeat this. Well, let's listen to the song. Janelle Monáe featuring Jidenna, Yoga. All right, that was the new Janelle Monáe. Next up, we are going to talk about a Jason pick, a new Sufjan Stevens song from the album Carrie and Lowell, named after his parents, or his mother and his stepfather. And the song is The Only Thing.
Yeah, so this is a song that Erica would appreciate how emo I've gotten to this song. I've been walking around like New York a lot, just like wistfully listening to this song. And
it's like me and Drake.
It is. It's basically like, it's basically like you and Drake.
Okay.
It's it's like folk Sam Smith, basically. No, wow. I'm kidding.
I was gonna go and listen now.
It's yeah. So I wrote. It's funny. I wrote about Sufjan for like a couple hours today, and in something that's probably gonna go online tomorrow. And yeah. What it's so interesting that. I can't get enough of this album. Have you heard the whole album?
I haven't heard the whole album yet.
Oh man, you got to get on that. Carrie and Lowell.
Sitting on this.
Come on. No, it's such a like a devastating album where he talks about not only his it's focused on his mother and it's focused on his her abandonment of him when he was a young kid, as well as her death. She passed away in December 2012. And it's an album about those things, but it's also about the feeling that Sufjan missed out on something, about not only on his childhood of not having a mother to be around, but also now just wanting to be with her and her that being impossible because she's no longer here. And The Only Thing is a song which is one of my favorite songs of this year, where he really captures everything in a little under 5 minutes, where there's so many just powerful, like painful lyrics where he's just like, how do I live with your ghost? It's just like, he's kind of like staring into the void in this song and saying like, what do I do now that you're not here? It has like elements of like almost like a Greek tragedy where he's like, should I tear my eyes out now? It's also
you're depressing me. I feel so terrible.
See?
Now
I told
about
you,
life.
Emo. But it's
Joe's crying.
It's I mean, obviously a lot of this the album is sad. There are some hopeful moments, but it's this part is, I mean, this song is at a point in this album where he is so desperate. He's described his relationship with his mother in that great Pitchfork interview with Ryan Dobble as unsolvable. Like he just can't. He's so focused on like trying to make peace with his mother who wasn't there for him and is no longer around, and he can't do it. And so this is almost like his therapy. But it's such a beautiful song. And
yeah, it's a gorgeous song. Like if you tune out the lyrics and what the song is about, like, you'll be like, oh, this is really pretty.
So fuck everything Jason just said and just listen to the production.
No, it's, it is. It's very gorgeous. And for, you know, Sufjan fans, this is, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but kind of the return to the folky Seven Swans Sufjan that a lot of fans have been missing out on.
But unlike
that, like, this feels like incredibly personal.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't even know if any of his albums have.
And that's the thing, is that it's fascinating. And again, I spent a lot of time thinking about over the past couple of weeks is like, if I love that interview he did with Pitchfork, but if I were to interview Sufjan, I would love to ask him why return to folk music for this project, because, you know, for those who aren't, you know, totally aware of his whole like discography or whatever, he was in 2003, starting in 2003, he put out three albums that were mainly rooted in folk music, more or less, and they basically made him a star. And mm-hmm. he took the next 5 years and did a bunch of like wacky side projects. Like he put out like a Christmas box set and like made this like Brooklyn Academy of Music score. It was mm-hmm. It was just kind of like he stopped making albums for a while, and then 2010 he put out this album Age of Odds that I really dislike, and I've talked about how much I dislike on the podcast before, but it's just like this like insane electronica album that where he's like yelping more than he's singing, and it ends with a 25 minute song, and it's just like people really like this album. I'm totally not one of them. And that was 2010, and it's been 5 years since then. So it's, again, he's 10 years removed right. from this star making run as a folk artist, and I'm so curious as to why he wanted to come back to that. I mean, maybe he felt it was long enough, maybe mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm so happy that he did. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's just beautiful and it's heartbreaking. And I kind of want to go cry in a puddle now. So.
It really is.
Seriously.
And it's funny because I'm always drawn to albums that are especially like sad albums that focus on one thing, and where immediately when you're presented with that sorrowful thing that it's about, you're like, this is part of life. But then it's so well done
right.
that you get wrapped up in it. Because like the same thing is like with Neutral Milk Hotel, like In the Aeroplane Over the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's an album about like the Diary of Anne Frank. And it's like, oh, you're going to base a whole album around the Diary
yeah.
of Anne Frank. But he does it like Jeff Mangum does it in such a powerful, emotive way that you're drawn into it. This is the same thing to me where it's like, oh, you're going to make a whole album about like your mother who wasn't there for you.
Right.
But
it seems like it could be like indulgent, but
exactly.
if done properly.
Yeah, it could be almost like cloying. And I feel like this is the total opposite of that, where he explores so many different angles of that relationship. And, it just like extended to like his relationship with God and like what, like where he can find solace when he doesn't have a mother to turn to. It's just, I've totally rambled through this whole podcast now that I was late to.
Yeah,
shows up late.
And it takes over the podcast.
In the club, take over the podcast. No, but it's just...
He seems to have an interesting story, or at least like, the concept for this.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
very personal.
Yeah, I'm going to get you... I'm going to get you like a Carrie and Lowell... T-shirt.
Can you make me a mixtape again?
An emo? Yeah. I made, Joe, years ago, I made Erica like an indie rock mixtape.
That's awesome.
And I was like, because, I was like, oh, I'd love to like, show you some of my favorite artists. And then Erica lost it.
I lost it.
That's the best thing that could have happened.
I haven't gotten like a physical mixtape in so long, because usually I deny them on the streets. But this time I got one that I
didn't give it to you on the street.
It's just a cost.
I'm saying, like, I usually, whatever. But yeah. I lost the one that I actually wanted to listen to.
I know.
So can you make another one and put this song on there?
I would be honored to.
Okay, that's all right.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It's Sufjan Stevens' song is called The Only Thing. All right, that was Sufjan, The Only Thing. Before we move on, actually, you mentioned Neutral Milk Hotel and the album, kind of about Anne Frank.
Yep.
That was a good album, but Justin Bieber's Anne Frank tribute,
wow.
Way better.
Oh, did you guys watch the roast?
I did, and I thought it was pretty good for the most.
Funny,
I mean,
yeah.
Those things go a little long, but there were some incredible jokes.
There were some incredible jokes. There were some not so incredible jokes. But yeah.
Who is your favorite comedian who did the roasting?
I think Hannibal.
Really? See, I wasn't that into Hannibal.
Oh,
I
thought, he's so funny.
I thought he was playing... I love him. I think he's great. But I thought he was like kind of playing the too cool for school. Like, I didn't like that he was like, Justin, I don't like your music.
You didn't like that? I love like that. So you didn't watch watch it, Erica?
I'm from Minnesota, and I feel like you need to be nice to people. to their face, at least. You know?
Well, that's very honest of you.
Wow.
No, there was... The Hannibal Buress came up, and... He like one of his jokes, and it literally didn't have a punchline. He was just like, "Yeah, I don't like your music. Like, I really don't. Like, no, I'm not kidding. I just don't really like it." And like that was the whole joke, and I thought that was so funny. And Justin Bieber was like, "Yeah, can I laugh now? I don't know."
Yeah, it's weird. Was it awkward?
Bieber?
No,
it was well timed. Hannibal did a great job.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
That's good.
But yeah, so let's move on to the next one. So this is one of mine. It's a sort of new band, sort of side project, weird collaborative thing. This is FFS, which is Franz Ferdinand combined with Sparks. In case you're not familiar... You're probably familiar with Franz Ferdinand. You know, they've been kind indie stalwarts for the last, I guess, 10, 12 years. You know, they kind of broke through with that, like, in the wake of the Strokes, that really, like, post-punk, but very structured songwriting.
Yeah.
Like, they have very great pop songs that have kind of that crunchy...
I would argue... Song. Ready? This is a hot take.
This is... Okay.
You ready, Joe? I would say... Aside from White Blood Cells, the Franz Ferdinand first album is the best album to come out of the garage rock revival. Boom.
I don't agree with that, but you know what? I can see an argument for it. That doesn't make me angry. So there you go.
All right. You were ready for that hot take.
I was ready for that hot take. So anyway, so Franz Ferdinand, they were big on the college rock scene. They still are. I mean, they still make good music. Sparks go way further back and are way more obscure. They were, I mean, I guess in the 70s they would have been like probably on the college rock scene, but they really haven't aged in the same sense that like Roxy Music's career has definitely like gathered them more fans as the years go on. The same cannot be said of Sparks. They're like a 70s art rock duo, and while they're very respected, most people aren't listening to them. And the reason is like their music is just incredibly theatrical and bizarre, and a lot of times devoid of structure or melody. And you know, it's hard to get into that stuff for whatever reason.
Yep.
So, but the interesting thing is like they decided to get together. They made an entire album together. The song we're talking about is Piss Off. It's kind of like exactly what you would expect from them being together, but in the best possible way, which is really fantastic. Like, it's the weirdness of Sparks, but Franz Ferdinand are like forcing them to keep it within a traditional song structure.
Okay.
Like at no point does this veer off into just like nonsense art rock territory. Like it's a song. It's a real song, you know?
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, it's much stranger than something Franz Ferdinand would do left to their own devices.
Yeah. Man, it's weird that these bands are making an album together.
It's so weird.
And it's just like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, like, cool. Like, they're, both of those are kind of weird bands, and they like to do their own thing. They don't really care about, like, commercial performance mm-hmm. or anything. But then I think about, like, the sounds of Sparks and Franz Ferdinand, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. But I do like the idea of two bands becoming one band more often. Like, I think that should happen more often.
At least for an EP. I think it's a great, you know, like, this isn't exactly that, but Bjork did that EP with Dirty Projectors, which was very, maybe not the best, but it was interesting.
Yeah, like, more of that. Like, come on. Like,
I know.
Hey.
Or Vashti Bunyan did the one with Animal Collective.
Of course.
Back in the day.
Hey, think about Audioslave.
That's true. Or New Kids on the Block meets Backstreet Boys. They didn't make an album.
I thought they did make an album.
But Nick Carter and Jordan Knight did make an album.
That's true.
Nick and Knight.
Nick and Knight. Erica's
so
totally
glad
zoned out.
Out of that.
Yeah, we couldn't be boring Erica.
Back in when you were talking about Nick Knight. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
But anyway, so yeah, it's pretty much the exact same sound as New Kids on the Block. So this is Franz Ferdinand and Sparks coming together for a song called Piss Off.
Tell everybody to piss off tonight. They should piss off and leave you alone in your world tonight.
All right, that was FFS, Piss Off. Next and last, let's talk about Jason Pick. So the band is No Joy. The song is called Everything New. And so why'd you pick this?
What do you love? Yeah, so No Joy. Let me tell you a little bit about No Joy. Are you a fan of No Joy, Joe?
Sure. I mean, like, I think jury's still out for me, I guess.
Oh, man. Okay, so No Joy is a band on Mexican Summer. And they are a shoegaze band from Montreal. And their album, I believe it was in 2013, Weight to Pleasure, it was in 2013, was one of my favorite albums of that year. It's just a really good, like, really solid shoegaze album. And that's, like, a weird thing to say, like, a solid shoegaze album. But, like, if you're a fan of, like, you know, the shoegaze, like, staples, like My Bloody Valentine, like, you should check out their album, Weight to Pleasure. It was their second album. It came out in 2013, and it's such a pleasure to listen to. It's a very warm album. And yeah, so I'm interested in what these guys are doing, and they have this new single from their third album. It's coming out in a couple months. I believe Everything is New is the name of it, right?
Yeah.
I've heard it like five or six times just because when it came out, I just put it on repeat. And it's just so, like, it's everything from Weight to Pleasure, but just evolved into a more dynamic, a more, like, catchy and accessible way of, you know, presenting rock music. Like, I just think that these guys, I don't think they'll ever be, like, the bell of the indie ball, but I just think that they're so solid. Like, they're just such a solid group. And, like, I never really got sick of their album and that's one of my favorites from 2 years ago. It's just a really fun listen, like a really, like, all the songs are very diverse and captivating, and I can't wait to hear what these guys have in store for them in their third album. I think if this is an indication, I'm pumped.
You're getting me excited for it.
Yeah, see,
I like the song. I think it exactly what you're saying, like, it has the shoegaze thing going on, obviously, but they're definitely expanding their sound a little bit. Like, this sounds a little more, there's elements of, like, the 90s alt rock in it, kind of like the strummy, like, song that maybe you could imagine being on the soundtrack to some, like, moody
I can totally see this in, like, an episode of, like, Pretty Little Liars at, like, a hip party.
Yes, definitely. Yeah this would be, like, an accessible but still, like, pretty indie pick.
Yeah,
or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, if one of the main characters meets a guy who's kind of on the fringe.
I can't, like,
society.
I said, I can't imagine this group ever really like crossing over, just because I don't think it's like that poppy, but
there's,
it just,
there's no way they're gonna be like a breakthrough on the, like an Arcade Fire or like whoever the indie star is.
Yeah, I just hope that a lot of, you know, I hope this gets some like blog love. And I think their last album did, but I think that these guys deserve it. Like, it's just, I've been going full indie this week. I gotta say, No Joy and Sufjan.
Yeah,
need like a new Fifth Harmony song.
Right, it's either one extreme or the other.
Basically.
But yeah, it's a good song. I would definitely, I'm gonna check out that 2013 album after that endorsement.
Man. All right.
But yeah, so the song is Everything New. Band is No Joy. Let's take a listen. All right, that was No Joy, and that is all we got on this week's podcast. I just want to say, before we stop it, it's great to have the original Must Hear Music podcast team back together.
This is basically like Avengers.
Oh, wow.
This is like Avengers.
It's like the title press conference. Oh. Like, please welcome Erica Ramirez.
We are in a conference room.
Who would be, I feel like, and Joe is like Alicia Keys.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sure.
I was going to say, there was some hesitance there.
No, that's a good thing.
Who was the one that cared, that seemed like cared least? Rihanna or Nicki? I want to be the one that seemed
didn't really seem.
I'm Madonna. I'd put my leg up on the table.
Yeah, Jason has been straddling the table this whole time, which is weird, but whatever. We're kind of used to it by now.
All right, that's fair.
All right, so we got our players right.
Yeah. We got the dream team back.
The dream team. All right. Anyways, thank you. Oh, and someone tweeted at us to recommend Sam Hunt, who I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a new song in a while, but next time he does, we should talk about him.
Coming, doesn't he?
I don't know. He had a video that came out a couple weeks ago, which was Good and Dark. But yeah, anyways, so please keep tweeting recommendations at us. We appreciate seeing the stuff and checking it out if we haven't heard it before. Yeah. Someone recommended Bay Tiger, who I was not terribly familiar with, who is great, kind of in the St. Vincent vein. She's from Minneapolis, so
they get like these are like the honorable mentions.
These are
like,
kind
well,
of like
not
the
discuss your song.
Yeah.
However, we see you.
Honorable mention goes to
We discussed Tink last week.
Yeah,
oh,
based on a Twitter request.
Next time they have a new song out, we'll chat about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, and we will catch you again next time.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.